This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the Jake Brown Show here on CBS Radio's Play.it. You find us on Play.it/Jake Brown, iTunes, Spotify, not Pandora, because Pandora is for losers. I'm sorry. I'm all about iTunes and Spotify. That's been the theme of the day, hating on. And this guy, Greg Larner here, loves Pandora. This is 2016. I'm sorry. If you like it, I'm sorry. Are you a Pandora guy?
No, apparently I hate Pandora, I guess.
Am I offending you? Like, do you actually like Pandora?
I've never once used Pandora once in my life, so there it is.
I like him. In the building, that voice you just heard is the chaplain for the Seahawks. He's the pastor of the City Church in Seattle, Washington, where he called me Jake Browning, the quarterback of the Washington team that lost to USC. It is Judah Smith in the building. What's good, man?
All is good. Have you seen my Seahawks lately? Yes. Did you see what we did? The 1 yard line stand? Come on.
It was revenge.
It was.
Except the game did not mean anything near as much. But it's all right. It's a step at a time. The Seahawks right now and the Cowboys look like they're going to match up in the NFC Championship.
Yeah, they look tough.
Which is going to be a hell of a matchup if it happens. Judah's here. He has his new book dropped Tuesday. You're hearing this Thursday. How's Your Soul? Go get it. Right now, wherever books are sold. I love saying that, man. Yeah. Wherever books are sold, you can read it on a Kindle. You could get it at Barnes & Noble. You get it on Amazon. There's just so many means to read books now. It's
no
too much.
Excuse.
Yeah.
But are you a reader? That's the question.
I'm not a big reader. But this I will read because I like you and your story. And it looks like an interesting book. And it's basically 200 pages, which is doable for
it's
me.
Doable. And it's I'm not a big Potter. Reader. So, like, we're friends. We're in this together.
Exactly. Your story is very interesting. First of all, how did this all start? How did this journey begin for you?
Well, my dad was the pastor of our community called City Church. And I mean, Jake, I wanted to be in the NBA, didn't we all? Mm-hmm. And then I maxed out at 6'1", 175, and went to a tournament in Christmas 1997 and watched Tracy McGrady play in the same tournament and realized I needed to quit immediately. He was unbelievable.
Did he play you?
We were two games away. We lost, let's all be right. honest. Yeah. But Tracy was insane against the Collins twins, as I remember it. And that's when I realized my day is done. And I love my dad. My dad was my hero, and he was such an incredible storyteller and lover of people. And so I became the custodian and then the youth pastor. And then 7 years ago, my dad passed, and I decided, actually, the board asked me if I would step up and be the pastor of the community. And 7 years later, here we are.
Is there a process, like a training process? Do you go to school for it? Is there, like, what did you major in?
Bible college. There it is. Bachelor's in theology. And I'm not sure if that ever prepares you to serving people and loving people, but it was the journey that I took.
Well, you're interesting because you're not like the typical pastor, I feel like. Like, you're a chill guy that, like, I feel like you drink or smoke with or just hang out with. I don't know. You just seem like a very chill dude. Maybe it's the Portland or Seattle in you.
Maybe.
Is that what it is?
Keep Portland weird. That's what they say.
Yeah.
You know?
Is that the saying?
That is the saying
in
Portland.
There, so
you never
or
been
Seattle.
To Portland?
No.
Or
no, man.
Jake,
I need to visit Seattle.
This is a travesty.
Are you going to show me around Seattle?
Or? I promise you. Right. You say the word, I'll show you around town.
Where do I need to go in Seattle?
You got to go downtown. You got to go to Pike Place Market. You got to watch them throw the fish around. You got to go to the original Starbucks. And then, of course, you got to go see the 12th man at the CenturyLink Field.
Yeah. I mean,
proud of him.
That would be my ideal. I need to go. Seattle seems like a nice city, except that it rains too often. But they have you and they have Macklemore.
One of the greats. One of the greats, Macklemore, and a great guy, by the way. Very cool.
Are you guys tight?
No, but we have talked before, and he is the real deal. I like him a lot.
All right, so I've been sold to go to Seattle.
Yes.
At some point, book my flight. Describe what a chaplain does exactly for those who don't know. My dad is Catholic, my mom is Jewish, so I'm technically Jewish. So this is stuff to me I'm very intrigued by.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's only my sophomore season as the chaplain of the team, but it's a thrill. I love it. I love encouraging guys. I was a youth pastor for 10 years, and so a lot of the guys are significantly younger than me. But it really entails just encouraging and being there for the guys and answering questions. And I get to do a chapel the night before every game, and then we do a Bible study during the week. And, you know, it's open to anybody who wants to join us. Mm-hmm. And I really, really enjoy it, and I've learned a lot about leadership. Coach Carroll, I think, is one of the great leaders in the history of sports, mm-hmm. Maybe in modern history for that matter. He's so inspiring to be around. So I get to kind of sit in the background too sometimes and just watch and learn.
Take us through that with the Seahawks, because we know Russell Wilson is a very religious guy, and I imagine he's a guy that you talk one-on-one with. Do you go through each player in one-on-one? Are there guys that come to you and you talk with them? And what is the schedule like? Is it before a game? Is it during practice?
Yeah, it's kind of whenever. It's at all hours. I'm just available to the guys, and I'm honored to call Russ one of my closest friends. And Russ and I talk often, and his faith and his courage and his dedication is astronomical. He has to be one of the most mentally strong and sound human beings I've ever come across. And I feel like he challenges me probably more than I challenge him. But yeah, it's a lot of dialogue, conversation. We'll take time to pray together, ask how the guys are doing, maybe even ask, how's your soul? Mm-hmm. How you doing on the inside? And
that's plug.
Shameless plug. It is part of where the project came from, is mm-hmm. even talking to some of the guys, like, how are you really doing on the inside? You're a great football player. You're doing amazing things on the field, but are you okay on the inside?
Well, these guys are truly moved by you from what I've seen. I think it was, I watched a video today, the Seahawks, like, not assistant coach, but there was a video on YouTube. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. Coach Carroll's assistant, Ben Malcolmson, is one of my great friends. Yeah,
you have a tremendous impact on these guys. What makes you different from other chaplains, and why do big names like the Seahawks, like Tebow, like a Durant, why do they come to you? What stands out?
Man, I'm not entirely sure. I do think that
about yourself. Much.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to say right off the bat here to Jake Brown, not Jake Browning. Jake Browning, if you're listening, I love you so much. But I will say that, you know, we can only really be ourselves, and when we try to be somebody else, it's pretty disingenuous and artificial. And so I'm passionate about being who God's made me to be, and I think millennials, if I could speak on your behalf as a 38-year-old non-millennial, I think you desire authenticity and genuineness. And so if we can just be who we are, be regular people, and maybe pastors are not the best at that, maybe the platform's got the best of them and they kind of feel like they got to live up to a persona, I truly believe that people connect with authentic people. So I aspire to do that.
Fox Sports said you're one of the most influential people in sports today. One that has to be awesome, as you hearing that. Just
first time I'm
that.
Hearing that, just by the way. That's great.
What does that mean to you for a guy who inspired to play sports, a guy who almost went up against Tracy McGrady, now getting called
Tracy,
one of the most influential
there,
people.
I miss you. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to hear that. And I guess all it spells out to me is trust, you know, that individuals have trusted me with part of their life and opened up their heart to me and had conversations. And so that trust is really valuable to me. It's to be guarded. And I mean, what else do we have but each other and relationships? And of course, all relationships are predicated upon trust, or they're not much of a relationship at all. So to hear that to me is like, wow, I've gained the trust of individuals. And that's, boy, that's valuable.
You worked with Kevin Durant, correct? Take us through like a one-on-one convo that you guys would have, what he comes to you for and what you guys talking about.
Well, the truth is Kevin has talks regularly with one of my best friends, Carl Lentz, who pastors Hillsong New York City right here in New York. And so I met Kevin through Carl and have had contact with Kevin. Honestly, I can just say Kevin is one of the most authentic, genuine, kind human beings you will ever meet. He's an absolute killer on the court, but he is an extraordinary human being, and I'm super proud of him. And I think the decision he's made in Golden State, there's been so much made of that, but I think Kevin has a pure heart in all these things and really wants to be in an environment where he'll thrive, and I wish him all the best. And I don't know, man, I'm going on record on sports radio saying if the Warriors start to really gel, this thing's gonna get crazy and they might go on a run. I'm just saying.
Oh, they should. That's an interesting case in certain guys, because with him, I imagine he comes to you not like a therapist role, but he's in a position where he's just getting ripped apart on social media. Why would you leave your home, Oklahoma City, go to Golden State? And guys who deal with what's going on in the media and look to religion as kind of a way to help them and get them through. I imagine that happens with a lot of these guys you work with.
Yeah, and I think you'll find that their hurts and their pains and their desires are not too dissimilar to ours. They're not made of Teflon. They do have souls. They do have feelings, and those things can be challenging. I think that was really telling to me is you know, talking whether it's to Timmy or talking to others, Russ, that stuff is very real to these individuals. And, you know, it's easy to play armchair quarterback on Monday, but these are real individuals that we're talking about. And for whatever reason, we can go in 140 characters or go online and kind of talk about these individuals like they're robots, mm-hmm. but they're not. They're actually human beings with souls. And I think, you know, if we'd think through that a little bit, maybe we would not release so much toxic opinion. Mm-hmm.
Judah Smith is in the building. HowsYourSoul.com. Get the book now and follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Judah Smith, where he's always posting great selfies with celebrities. And the most recent one, as you talked about, is Timmy Tebow, in the words of designer there. You guys are close. How did we know he's a very religious guy? How did you two meet? What's the story behind that?
Through Bubba Watson, who's one of my best friends, long ball. I think the greatest golfer in the world. I love him so much. And Bubba just invited him to church in L.A. And I was speaking, and Timmy and I met and been talking ever since. And again, you got somebody in Tim Tebow who is got so much focus, dedication, and commitment. It oozes out of his pores. And I must say, he's a constant inspiration to me. So I got to surprise him. That's the photo you're referencing at his book signing in Scottsdale. His book Shaken, which is a phenomenal read. And Timmy has never been buffer. It is ridiculous, and I told him that. And of course, he hits a home run on the first pitch. Yeah. Like, what are we talking about? The Tim Tebow story continues.
It's always a story. Anytime his name comes up, what does he talk to you about in terms of switching to baseball here? Because obviously, he's had his naysayers. Cough, cough. Stephen A. Smith. He's had people say, "Don't do this. You can't play baseball. It's a PR stunt." But it's in his heart to do what he loves, and why not go after it? I imagine he's kind of broke down this journey with you.
He thrives under pressure, and he thrives, I think, when people say he can't do something. And there's something in Tim Tebow that is just so admirable. It's like the moment you say he can't do it, he has this motivation and desire to do it all the more. And again, that's something that as a father and as a husband and as a man, I want more of in my life, you know, that determination and, and then willingness to fail. The thing about Tim Tebow, he's never been afraid of failing. And how many of us live our lives worried? Well, what if I fail? What will people say? Timmy throws himself into everything that's in front of him that he believes God's asking him to do, and he does it with all of his heart. And win or lose, he's going to keep being who God's called him to be, and that's incredible to me.
What makes him a headline always? Like, we have ESPN on, and he seems to be on ESPN every week. What about him? I honestly thought he should. I mean, he didn't get his fair shake in the NFL. He took the Broncos from a team that was going to be a high draft pick to a team that went to the playoffs, and he won a playoff game on top of that, Pittsburgh, on top of it, and then didn't get his chance. First of all, he deserved a shot. Second of all, what makes him this lightning rod?
Yeah, I think he is an anomaly, isn't he? And you're right, he's a lightning rod, and I think it is Timmy is fully himself. And like him or leave it or not like it, he's fully himself. He is, I love the term consistent. In fact, if you go to the Hebrew Bible, it is the ultimate definition of holiness. To be holy is to be consistent. God's always consistent. And I think Timmy seems to embody that consistency. Whenever I'm with him, whenever I'm around him, he is consistently who he is. And I think there's something about that in our culture today. We're just magnetically drawn to a human that is consistently themselves. And I think we kind of admire him, whether we're willing to admit that or not. I'm certainly admitting that, so are you. But others may not prefer that. But I think we're all attracted to him because of the consistent lifestyle by which he lives.
Does he ever tell you, like, hey, man, like, I should be in the league right now? Like, does he ever express frustration to you about not being in the NFL?
I honestly, once again, consistency. Timmy has never griped. He's never complained. He is a person who's like, we're going to keep moving forward, and it's going to get better and better, and the best is yet to come. And again, I want to live my life more like that.
Yeah, it's an inspiration to a lot of the younger people. Judah Smith here, How's Your Soul? Why should people go out and get How's Your Soul? Take us through the content of the book and why people should go get it.
Well, first of all, we all have a soul, so it wouldn't be a bad thing for us to kind of take
some
inventory.
I do. Some people don't.
Some of us need to take, if not all of us, need to take inventory of how our soul is doing. And, of course, it's predicated and based upon ancient scripture, which I believe is this guide to an ultimate relationship with God who's alive. And whether you believe that or not, the point is we all have a soul, and are we stewarding it well at the velocity and speed in which we're living, culture, media, the inundation of so much information, the technological age? Are our insides okay? Is my mind, my will, my emotions? It's easy to take inventory of your outside because you can see it. Mm-hmm. Others can see it. You can look in a mirror. But how is my soul? Ancient King David defined the soul as all that is within me. Is all that is within me okay? And all I'm asking is that people would have a conversation, maybe with the people closest to them. Am I okay? Do I seem okay? How do you think my mind, my will, my emotions, my core, my heart is? And just because you have fulfilled your lifelong dream of an occupation, I don't think the question is, what are you going to be when you grow up? But who are you going to be? And who's the kind of person you want to be? And that has so much to do with your soul. So I'm hoping in the pages of this small and short readable book that you get some answers and at least some direction and context and framework for stewarding your own soul.
And this isn't new to you because you are the New York Times bestselling author of Jesus Is. And then underscore parentheses is just blank. Do you say Jesus is blank or is just Jesus?
Well, I fill in the blank and then I challenge other people. How would you fill in the blank? And that's, I totally respect however you fill in the blank.
Just blown right now at that. But was that the first book? You've written several books?
Yeah, we did Jesus Is Blank, Life Is Blank, and then now How's Your Soul?
So it's not How's Your Blank.
Nope, it's
you
just
you we didn't keep it consistent there.
No, we forsook the blank, and now we're just filling it in for you.
We have filled in the blank here, so it is How's Your Soul? Go get it now. What is your reaction? I hate talking politics here, but Trump, your initial reaction of Trump winning?
Yeah, I think for any of us who have relationships with individuals, and particularly in my own life, relationships with. I have a lot of African-American friends. I have a Korean cousin. I have Hispanic staff members in our community. And this has been a very polarizing time. Wherever you fall on the policies, I wonder if we could elevate the conversation beyond policy, even though policies affects our everyday life, and talk about people. What really matters in life is each other. What really matters in life is people. It's not power and position, but people. And right now, people are hurting. And our nation is categorically divided. What are we going to do to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem? And I don't think the solution is indifference or certainly not ignorance. We've got to move towards the pain, not ignore the pain, pretend like it's not there, or even explain the pain away. The pain is there, and if you look at our nation's history, historically validates the pain. And we've got to move towards it and say, okay, how can we begin the healing process? It's going to be long, it's not going to be easy, but can we stay in a conversation? A conversation about prejudice and privilege and racism and bigotry. Can I stay in the conversation? Can I build intentional relationships to bring healing to this this painful divide?
I imagine it's still early, but have you had some of the players that you do talk to come to you? Because some of them African American, I imagine, are a little bit concerned. You've had Mike Evans from the Bucks sit down during the national anthem. You have guys protesting. You have protests right outside here in the streets.
Right.
Have you had guys come to you?
Yeah, absolutely. We've talked to players, and then, of course, you start to hear stories and experiences that different young men have had, and it's hard to hear, and that's embarrassing to admit, but it is. It's painful. It's difficult, and my role, I'm just glad I'm not running for president. I'm glad that I get to be a pastor.
One day.
Because I love pastoring people, but again, the pain is real, and we see that, and we hear it. There's a reason that there are riots, and there's marches, and there's picketing because there's pain. And are we willing to listen? And are we willing to be a part of the solution? And I think, in a sense, that's all of our responsibility collectively, no matter what you believe politically. Let us love one another, for love is of God. And that's what the scripture teaches us.
Which player has told you, Which player do you think you've had the biggest impact on and who has told you about the impact that you've had on them? Because some of these guys, I feel like you've had a huge impact on their lives.
Well, I don't know. That's a tough question, and I don't know if I've ever had that conversation. My longest standing relationship is not with an athlete at all, but I think Justin Bieber is one of the great human beings. I love him so much. He's like family to me. We talk almost daily, and I've probably learned more from him than he's ever learned from me. His experience is astronomical, and so he enjoys sports. He's not a professional athlete, but he's certainly a public figure.
He's Bieber favorite.
And he loves sports, by the way. And I'm proud of who he is and the journey that he's been on. He's amazing.
What do you mean he's taught you more than you've taught him?
I feel like Bieber, which I never call him that, but you just call someone to go with that.
Call
but
JB,
I feel like Justin. I feel like Justin has lived like 50 lives. You know what I mean? In terms of his experiences, his exposure, where he's been in life, who he's met. And so oftentimes our conversations, I just sit and listen. And what comes out of this young man is extraordinary. And I think even on his purpose tour, he's endeavoring to take time in his shows and his concerts to kind of share his heart and his experience. And it's, I mean, who names their tour purpose? Like that's, you know, not a lot of artists are doing that. And so,
What's the message that he says to you where your mind is blown, like you just said? Like,
I think his perspectives on the social experience and relationships and depth and true connection and willing to be vulnerable with each other, those are things that he's challenged me on. And wow, it's like he starts talking about it and you're like, dude, that is so profound. And that is something that I endeavor to be. We all would benefit from intentional, vulnerable relationships. I think we all need that in life.
It's interesting to hear that perspective because obviously we hear the negative stories of Bieber, the ones that are going to get on Page Six or that are going to get on E! News. We hear he's screaming at people on tour, blah, blah, blah. So it's interesting to hear the more philosophical side of him that we don't see in the front page of the papers.
I think actually he is a philosopher and his philosophies are incredibly revealing and profound and yeah, I'm super proud of him.
You're a big sports fan, Seahawks fan.
With all my heart.
Are you a Mariners fan?
Absolutely. Like, I mean, but seeing the Cubbies win, I'll be honest, I think it was just good for our country. It was good for my soul, and I thought that was a lot of fun. Who's your teams?
I'm a Mets, Jets, Knicks fan, so basically my life is miserable since day one.
But, of course, Timmy is now playing. Eventually, hopefully, he moves up.
Do you think he makes it?
With all of my heart, 2 years or less on the Jake Brown Show, I'm saying right now, Tim Tebow makes it to the big leagues.
The Jake Browning Show.
No. Or Browner, right? Brandon Browner.
Brandon Browner's long-lost white brother, Jake Browner. 2 years. You know what? He fights for everything. Like I could see it maybe in 2 years. This year, no chance.
Yeah,
2016 coming to an end already. This thing flew by. What a wild year. Just wild
and
president,
so
wild people died. Just insanity this year.
It's wild.
But Seahawks, Super Bowl champs?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to meet up again with the Patriots. And we're going to get the job done.
Judah Smith, go get How's Your Soul. Follow him Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Judah Smith, howsyoursoul.com, wherever books are sold. Judah, enjoy the talk, and I'm going to take you up on your word, and hopefully next year visit Seattle.
Okay, I'm going to hold you to it.
Appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks, Jake. Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.